I just found out where I'll potentially be. And so we just have to work some things out. I work at Farm Credit Illinois over in Mahomet, been there, and so I'll be leaving that company at the end of the year, and somehow God lined it up that all of a sudden I'll be a pastor. So we're going to come out of Acts chapter 6 today. And the topic that that God kind of led me to is growing pains. Now, I think there's some people around my age, maybe a little bit older, but remember back in the dark ages and when the television was this big box? Anybody remember that? It was a big box, right. And you didn't have a remote control. The remote control was your children, right? Okay, somebody, you're with me, right? So the remote control, is we needed to change, and we only had like 5 channels. 3 regular channels, and then like some UHF thing, remember that? Right, okay. And so in the 80s, there were these television shows, you know, that were really good. You know, I watched like The Cosby Show, I watched Growing Pains, Who's the Boss? Remember all that? And so we didn't have 100 channels to watch. We had, like I said, 5. And so one of the shows that I liked was called Growing Pains. Now, that was a funny show, correct? Now, here's the thing. I forgot to warn you all. Now, I wasn't born Methodist. I didn't grow up Methodist. I grew up in I'm like Baptistolic. So I got a little Baptist in me, I got a little Pentecostal in me, and now I got some Methodist in me, and so I'm a church mutt. And I grew up, all I knew is that every Sunday, we were going to church. Again, my mom was a Baptist, my mother's mother was Church of God in Christ, and my grandmother was Methodist. So that's all we knew. I just loved church. And so I got used to people saying, for no reason whatsoever, at the Pentecostal church, people would just yell out, hallelujah, for no good reason. It scared me. I was like, whatever is on them, Lord, please don't let it get on me. And so I think God has a wonderful sense of humor, and he's very ironic in his sense of humor. So now I'm a Methodist pastor, but what I found out in our history is that some of the most dynamic preachers in church history were Methodists. And some of the loudest, most boisterous preachers were Methodists. So if I get a little loud, it's just get to affirm me today just a little bit, because I'm a Methodist now, okay? And I'm trying to be as traditional as possible because I'm a Methodist, all right? Okay, so now we're going into Acts chapter 6, if we can get the scripture on the screen. Acts chapter 6, and I'm teaching through Acts as we speak at New Horizons. And one of the things I found out about that book, now it's how the church grew, right? You all go to Bible study and things like that. So you have, you know, Peter is after Jesus ascended, and you have Peter preaching all over the place, right? And so through the first 6 books, Peter's preaching, and the church is growing. And you'll constantly see the word went forth, and the church grew. Now, in the first 6 books, it was pretty easy for the church because Peter pretty much focused on Jewish folk. So now I want to say some stuff. Now, are we friends? We're family right now. We just talked for about 5 or 10, so we're family today, right? We're okay. We can have family conversations. We can get into some stuff with each other. So we're family right now. I've declared it today on the day of our Lord, this day of our Lord. We are family. So family has talks. That's what I was seeing on a show, Growing Pains. So family has talks. So we're family. As we step into chapter 6, do you read scripture together or does the preacher just read? I just want to make sure I follow your tradition. We're okay. Okay. I'm going to read this off the screen, and then we're going to get into it, okay? And I'll get you out in about 20 minutes, right? Okay, all right, good to go. So everyone, and coming into chapter 6, like I said, through the first few books, the church is growing, and it's highly focused on purely Jewish folk. One of the issues that they had was we had this Jewish tradition, and now you're introducing this Jesus thing. So people would get mad about the Jesus thing because they wanted to stay Jewish. So we step into chapter 6, and we have another anomaly. As we step into chapter 6, back on the screen, the church started to grow. Now we're introducing Jewish folk. But all of a sudden, you don't have just a certain amount, certain sect of Jewish folk. You've got Jerusalem Jews, you got Palestinian Jews, you got Greek Jews, and all of a sudden, now we got a problem. As we step into chapter 6, we hear some complaining. Hey, complaining, but wait a minute now. We got all these people here, and we got to feed some folk. Now, in our tradition, we got to figure out how to take care of poor folk. How are you going to take care of the widows? How are you going to take care of the widows, Mr. Disciple and Mr. Apostle? This is what we're supposed to do. And so we stepped into that, and then they chose 7 people. Now, the apostles, rather than the apostles saying, let me pick who you're going to use, they said, church, you all figure it out. Everyone liked this idea, and they chose the following. Stephen, who we're going to talk about today, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. Just one. Give me one. Okay, that's all I need today. I'm good. That's my gas. Philip, Procurus, Nicanor, Timon, Permanius, and Nicholas of Antioch, an earlier convert of Jesus' faith. These 7 men were presented to the apostles who prayed for them as they laid their hands on them. Again, so the God's message continued to spread. Next verse. The number of believers greatly increased. Word of God went forth. Number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many Jewish priests were converted to. Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed amazing miracles and signs among them people. But one day, some men from the synagogue, free slaves who came from the same place he came from, as it was called, started to debate with him. They were Jews again from Cyrene and Alexandria. The issue that they were dealing with was change. Interesting about this. I got a quick story. I read of a father who was studying and reading, and he heard a commotion inside the window. It was his daughter who was playing with her friends, and it got louder and louder and more heated and more argumentative until finally he could restrain himself no longer. He pushed the window open and said, "Honey, stop it. What is wrong with you?" After the reprimand, she responded quickly, "But Daddy, we're just playing church. I don't see the problem." If you want to make enemies, change something. Woodrow Wilson said that. So what was going on in the church? Now, they claimed that, you know, we got this issue. Can I talk common? Let me pause for a second. So I've got a few degrees. I've got a doctorate. So, but when I'm home, I can act normal, right? Say amen again. Okay, so the issue was, they said, well, you know, our tradition states that we're supposed to figure out how to take care of the widows. Apostles, you figure out what we're supposed to do. Was that the real issue? Just say no. The real issue was this. One culture dealt with church one way. One culture, I'm just going to get in our space. One culture was exceptionally traditional. Ooh, ouch, ooh, ee. And then you bring in a culture that's exceptionally contemporary. How in the world are we supposed to have church with them? And here's the other thing about it. So you have Aramaic-speaking Jews, you have Greek-speaking Jews, you have Roman Jews. They all spoke different languages. I was sharing with one of my staff members at work today, and oddly, God has me in this space where I'm constantly talking about cultural sensitivity and things like that in different cultures. And he told me that there's a Jordanian couple that moved into his neighborhood, and they don't speak English. And somehow, some way, his daughter figured out how to play with their kids. And somehow, some way, these kids get together every day and have a good time. So what the apostles figured out was, you know what? You figure out this issue. And what they did was said, instead of the traditional folks leading this effort, they allow the new people, the Greek folk, to lead the effort. Somebody say amen again. But this brought about conflict. That's one of the things I find interesting about conflict. One thing I find in problems. Problems could be a problem, or problems can be an opportunity. For this church, the problem became an opportunity. It was an opportunity, number one, for the apostles to trust the people to figure it out. Oftentimes, we as leaders get in the way of things happening, and we try to control every aspect of it. Another problem was that was able to figure out is that let us exercise our faith in this effort. One of the pre-problems that it's interesting when we get saved, and I'll bring some other rhetoric from another denomination. We get saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and then we bring our culture into the church and expect the church to be the way we want it to be. If you introduce new stuff into the church and new people into the church, you're going to have to deal with change. John Perkins said this. John Perkins is a Christian community development person. He grew up in Mississippi, and one of the things he experienced extreme racism when he was in Mississippi. But he grew up and learned, and through the grace of God, to help develop communities and bridge the gap with cultures. And one of the things he said was this: yielding to God's will can be hard, and sometimes it really hurts, but it always brings about peace. What they were dealing with was the tyranny of either or. Either we're going to be contemporary, we're going to be traditional. Either we're going to speak Greek, or we're going to speak Aramaic. Either it's going to be my way or the highway. And somehow, Stephen stood up and said, it was allowed to lead this effort of blending the church. If you get into the book of Acts, one of the things you'll find out is, as you keep moving further from chapter 1 all the way through the end of the book, from chapter 1, it's completely Jewish. In chapter 6, all of a sudden you're introducing different types of Jewish folks. And then you push on to chapter 8, and all of a sudden you're dealing with the Samaritans, and then you push further on, and all of a sudden it's Gentile. There's a concept of, if I say metamorphosis, everybody knows what that means, right? Yes? Say amen again, that's what it means. Okay. So metamorphosis. So the thing about metamorphosis is there's a butterfly start off as a butterfly. What does a butterfly start off as? A what? A caterpillar. A butterfly starts off as a caterpillar, right? Does a butterfly look like a caterpillar? Not at all. If you saw a butterfly and you saw a caterpillar, and you would say, that don't go together, correct? So here's the thing about metamorphosis. Metamorphosis is transformation, change, correct? So in metamorphosis, what started out one way ends up looking another way, and it looks completely different. So what the church was dealing with was metamorphosis. This church started off completely Jewish. By the time it got to the end of the book, all of a sudden you're talking about, wait a minute, we're not just Roman-speaking, Aramaic-speaking Jews, we're not just Jewish. Because here's the common denominator, what I continue to read in this book is, wait a minute, there's Aramaic Jews, there's Palestinian Jews, There's Greek-speaking Jews. What's the common word? Jews. So there's English-speaking Christians. There's Greek-speaking Christians. What's the common word? Christian. So there's African-American Christians. Can I go there? Well, okay. There's African-American Christians. There's Caucasian Christians. There's Latino-American. Okay, you got to get the call response. Okay, we're working together. What's the common word? Christian. So here's the deal. The caterpillar started one way, but it's still a caterpillar, correct? And it ended up being a butterfly. So how beautiful would it be once, as the church goes through metamorphosis? Is a butterfly pretty? So this metamorphosis that the church is going through is a good thing. Amen? It's a beautiful thing that go from one thing. I can't imagine this. Let me back up so ensure that I'm homiletically sound. Good word, big word. Look it up. It means I've been in seminary for a minute or so. So that I'm homiletically sound. The book of Acts was written by Luke. He wrote the book to Theophilus. Guess what? Neither one of them were Jewish. Look it up. Neither one of them are Jewish. So what would it look like? So you got a Roman person telling their story. So what's it look like? What would it look like if somebody was to tell Quest's story? Ooh. And they told it in a beautiful way. Now, we're family again, right? So I'm here now. I've been here for about 20 minutes. We're family. So what does your story look like today from somebody on the outside looking in? That's what was going on in this story. So, and Luke was so excited about it that he had to tell the story. Now, moving on to chapter 7. Now, here's what Stephen dealt with. Stephen preached, and the church grew. Stephen preached, and the church grew. The word of God went forth, and the church grew. Amen? But here's the deal. I got another story for you. Can I tell you another story? Tell you. Modern technology. Where's my story? There it is. Research indicates that the spotted owl's greatest threat might not be lodging, but one of its relatives. For the past 15 years, the barred owl has migrated westward rapidly. Barred owls, which used to live exclusively east of the Mississippi, compete for the same food as spotted owls. But spotted owls are more aggressive and adaptable. Sometimes the greatest conflict comes from not outside culture, but from other Christians. Here's what was happening. You started with Syrian Jews. Stephen was Syrian. And the same folks that should have been supporting him all of a sudden said, look, Stephen, we're not having it. And they lied on him. Ultimately, as you push through, Stephen is so wise and so powerful with his word. He was an apologetics. I mean, he could defend the word of God, that they got even madder at him. And as we push through chapter 7, as he argued, he reminded them of who they were and that they killed Jesus, etc. They got so mad at him that they were threatening to kill him. And ultimately, Stephen was considered the first martyr. I kind of asked the question, why? Why does Stephen have to die? And I got to ask the question, why does God sacrifice us? But at the end of the book, at the end of that chapter, Stephen defended himself. They stoned him. He still looked to God and said, God, forgive them. At the end of the book, he was still defending the gospel and defending them. But I found this. The question about Stephen can only be answered by the reflection of history. The Lord was not finished building the church. Through Stephen's death, now what happened was Stephen died, right? People got scared, correct? And they got scared and they left. But the word of God didn't die with that. When they left, they continued to spread the word of God. Through Stephen's death, the sect of Judaism was forced to flee Jerusalem. The Christians were scattered and their faith with them. They were part of the worldwide movement that they would never have left Jerusalem without the persecution and punishment inflicted upon them. The death of Stephen ignited the fire of the pent-up hatred for the followers of Jesus Christ. It exploded with fury. They had to leave. The saying is true. The blood of martyrs is the seed of the church. This is never more true than the blood of the first martyr. Stephen was a natural crown, whose natural crown of human ability was crowned with gifts of the Lord's Spirit. His crown of thorns and finally the crown of glory had lived up a relatively short life, but he accomplished his purpose, which was the turning point and eventually cause of the gnawing questions of Saul and Tarsus couldn't answer. What was interesting about Stephen to me, because the Bible said that he glowed. And the Bible said that, like when people looked at him, his body glowed. And the Bible said that as it got closer and closer to his death, he looked up to heaven. And as it got closer and closer to his death, he didn't waver or shake. He was just ready to be and do what the Lord said. And interestingly, the thing that it also says in that scripture is that he looked up to heavens and Jesus was standing. Now, I almost took off running right down Philo when I said that. Because here's the word says normally Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Jesus stood up. It's one thing to honor God. So in some sectors, if the president came through here today, no matter how you feel about him, if the president came through here today, what would you do? You would stand up. And you would stand up because you're what? You're honoring the office of the presidency, correct? For Jesus to stand up for you, I almost took off running again. Just the thought of Jesus honoring me by standing up. Strange is our situation here upon earth. Each of us comes for a short visit, not knowing why, yet sometimes seeming a divine purpose. From the standpoint of life, however, there's one thing we do know, that we are here for the sake of others, for the countless unknown souls with whose fate we are connected with by the bond of sympathy. Many times a day, I realize how much my own outer and inner life is built upon the labors of people, both living and dead, and how earnestly I must exert myself in order to give in return as much as I have received. That is our purpose here on earth. The amazing thing about, I ask myself this, and I'm closing. I ask myself this, how Stephen was able to withstand. And I asked myself, how did he hang in there till the end? I learned a lot about nature. I learned a lot from nature. Do you all know that the zebra's stripes are different? Zebra's stripes are different. And when a mother zebra has a baby zebra, she takes the zebra away from the pack. And the baby sits And she has the baby stare at her. And this goes on for a few days. And the baby has to stare at the mom and the mom at the baby because the mom wants the baby to know that I'm your mother, that if you get in the midst of chaos, that you see my stripes. And so they go back to the exchange back and forth for days so that if the baby gets into danger, when they go back to the pack, if there's any chaos in life, when they go back to the pack, that they know, okay, there's mom, and I can run to mom. And so what I saw in the scripture here was that Stephen, in the midst of chaos, he looked up, and he still glowed. And so the word says that my sheep know my voice. And so Stephen didn't worry because in the midst of that chaos, what did he do? He looked to God. And he knew God would take him to be with him. At the end of the day, if we're going to be a change agent, we have to be like Stephen and trust God will be with you till the end. Praise God, and God bless you all. Oh, closing hymn. But I think I stay here. Everyone stand, please. Thank you. Until we meet again. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Testing, testing, ooh.
Check, check, 1, 2. Check, 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 1, 2. Testing.
Testing. Testing.
Do you want me to check this one too?
Testing, testing, testing. Testing. And she's checking the last
mic.
Testing, testing. Yeah.
Oh, Holy Spirit in. We sing. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control.
People from Till 10:15, and then we need to be off of the platform, all right?
Okay, we're
done. So,
it's 10:06.
Yep, about 10 minutes left.
Okay, so we got that one.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
See
you. Lord, you are good and endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
People from every nation,
people from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you.
I mean, I didn't before.
Okay.
I can if you want to.
If you can't. Oh.
this works.
So you're saying?
You
all of